It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got them right where we want it.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh.
What's up? Good Friday. Radio energy right
Let's
there.
Let's go.
Because we got it.
John Gruden genuine fake enthusiasm. Ooh. Let's do it.
Ooh.
What are we doing? Is there a Gruden thing?
Yes.
Oh, what? What's that dude up to? I heard an interview with Jay Gruden the other day, and Jay Gruden was a quality control staff on our the team that I stood on the bench for,
the team that you led to the Super Bowl.
Under my watchful tutelage, yes, the Super Bowl champions. And I forgot, because I didn't deal with him very much. He really wasn't. He was more of a meeting guy instead of being out on the field. I forgot how much he is John Gruden. Like the way they talk, the mannerisms.
So Jay is just like John.
It is creepy, and I was like, oh yeah, like I was listening to an interview with him. He was on one of like the PFF podcasts or something, and I was like, oh my god, it sounds like, you know when Caliendo does the Gruden impression.
Yeah,
that's what it is, but it's just Jay Gruden. It's so creepy.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. He was obviously he was a head coach, and then he was an OC, and then he was an analyst a couple places. I think he might just be, I don't know, being Jay Gruden right now. During the interview, it was like, oh, Jay Gruden. And I think he just kind of piggybacks off of.
That's how they introed him. Oh, Jay Gruden.
Well, yeah, there wasn't, like, normally, you know, when you have an interview, it's like, hey, this guy's doing this, this, and this. This was just like, oh, here's Jay Gruden.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's just hanging out.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, he probably has enough money. You know, he did,
yeah.
You know,
he did well.
And he was, because when I was in Tampa, he was still doing the Arena Football League stuff. He was a player. So like when like they would like lead up to like the, some of the playoffs and stuff, there were times like he would go under center. Like he was like a weird, like holding on to your dreams, like playing, because I don't remember if it was in Orlando or whatever, but he was playing for one of the Arena League teams down there, and they just would kind of show up sometimes, and like, I don't know, he was like a quality control guy.
Before I get to the big John Gruden news, I have to intro our producer for about a half an hour.
Yay!
Jeff Rust, everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
And I will state for the record once again, no one in the history of this station puts a smile on my face quite like looking at that man right there.
I agree.
Yeah.
He's a man of the people.
He is. He's just jovial.
Most of the time.
What'd you say?
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. I've seen him cranky. I've seen him frazzled.
Yeah.
But not today.
I've always said that I would like, and I'm a little disappointed I haven't gotten it yet. I want a glossy, like 8x10. Have you ever seen Better Off Dead?
Yeah, of course.
You know, for
$2.
Yeah, for Christmas, where little Ricky gives Monet the 8x10 glossy of him, like with a little handmade frame. I want one of those of Russ just up at my house, like in my office. And because every day when I came downstairs and I looked at it, it would just make me smile. And then people would randomly come over and be like, dude, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's just Rust. Like, who is that? I'm like, you don't worry about it. Just know Rusty's there.
Yeah, so Rusty's hanging out for about a half an hour, and then Will Ortner's going to be in here. We're kind of rotating the...
Sometimes you got to pitch in for the people. Yeah.
Had to call an audible.
Yeah, we called an audible.
We red-pandied it.
Omaha.
Omaha!
So thanks, Rusty. Thanks for sticking around.
Absolutely.
Ortner will be in here in a little bit. Nobody wants that, but it's what we have to do. John Gruden in the news today.
Oh, what's still the lawsuit thing? No. I did not see John Gruden in the news.
No. Well, it's not in, really in the news.
Okay.
But it's like John Gruden is preparing to be a college football coach.
What is that even? Is this like Brett Favre non-news? Like when Brett Favre may or may not do something?
Gruden is blackballed from the NFL.
Yes.
Okay, so he'll never coach in the NFL again.
Does not seem that way. Although I thought he was, doing some analyst stuff for an NFL team.
Is he?
I think so. I thought that, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right.
I thought he consulted with. I thought it was with Sean Payton, maybe, or I don't know. He was doing some sort of consulting thing, but it wasn't, again, much like Jay Gruden, you're not a coach. You're just, you're just there.
He is an advisor for the Milano Seamen of the European Football League.
Okay, what did he do before that? I swear, he did something.
Yeah, he was a consultant for the Saints.
Okay.
2023 Saints.
So it wouldn't have been Peyton, but so maybe that's what I was thinking. Was the
Dennis
Saints.
Allen. Okay. Why are you clapping?
The Seamen.
Yeah.
John Gruden and the Seamen.
That's a little alarming, isn't
it? That is a little alarming.
The Milano Seamen.
Hey, who are you going to see tonight? John Gruden and the Seamen. What? Yeah, they're playing over at the Crystal. I heard they put on a great show, those Seamen.
So Gruden is studying the college game to perhaps become a coach at the college level.
Boy, I'm intrigued how that would go. Like John Gruden kissing the ass of a 17-year-old kid?
I don't know. Yeah. I think the guy just can't stop coaching.
He can't.
You know?
And
he knows the NFL isn't going to be it. So.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll say this. He was I was around a lot of good coaches in my brief little tenure in college, and we had Lavelle Edwards and Norm Chow, and I got to see Mike Shanahan and Gary Kubiak, and we had a lot of really, really smart guys that I got to be around, and smart players. John Gruden has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. He was Sean McVay as far as a savant before McVay. And I don't think Gruden is the greatest coach in the world because I think he's a little blinded by his own supply. But that is his recall and the attention to detail, and he just grinds you. I think he's like Harbaugh. He wears out his welcome real fast. But God, sitting in front of a whiteboard with that guy was the most terrifying thing in the world because he just was smarter than anyone else in the room. But the problem is, like, Mike Martz was that, like this. When you're the smartest guy in the room, sometimes it's hard to have a collaborative effect because you just think your way is the only way, and
my way is the only way.
That can be detrimental.
Well,
he needs the Seamen is what he needs.
Well, you know what he needs? He needs to team up with Prime.
Oh, God. They'd murder each other.
Who would you rather have as your college coach, Prime or Gruden?
Gruden. Because I think Dion's kind of a moron, and Gruden's really smart.
What if you had Gruden and Prime? Co-head coaches?
I don't think you could.
Why not?
I don't think their egos could fit in the same room.
Who has a bigger ego, Prime or Gruden?
Boy, you are hard-pressed to find someone with a bigger ego than John Gruden, but the answer is Coach Prime.
Yeah, I think it's Prime.
Because at least with Coach Gruden, I think you can call him John. You can call, like, some of the guys called him John. Keyshawn Johnson used to just berate him. Like, as much of a hard-ass as he was, Keyshawn did whatever he wanted and told Gruden to go blank himself many times. I don't think that happens with Coach Prime. He doesn't even let you call him Coach or Sanders or Dion. It's Coach Prime or Prime? No, that's an ego. When you're the greatest to ever do something like he is, your ego, that's a different strategy.
Yeah, he's showing it to us too, boy.
Oh, God, yeah. But his latest was that he said he would suspend his players if they acted like the other team's players towards the Colorado players.
Do you believe?
Sure.
What does that mean?
I guess he's, the trash talking and I guess the perceived cheap shots and all that and the treatment from other players. He's saying that if his players acted like that, he would just suspend them. I'm like,
wait, they do act like that.
Yeah, but he doesn't suspend them. So, again.
So he's lying.
He's lying.
Oh, the plight of Prime.
The plight
what a
of
tough
Prime.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Gruden says he didn't say. They just said that he's brushing up on his college.
Well, I always said, this was many, many moons ago on this program because we've been doing it
right
for
here.
Many, many moons.
Right here on the fan. You heard it here.
Before he got the second chance with the Raiders, I said because that he's like, I think when we were talking about the Notre Dame job, I don't remember which time it came up. It might have been, I remember, was it O'Leary that got fired from there for lying? And Gruden was sniffing around and, you know, he's a Midwest guy. And I do remember saying, dude, Notre Dame should go get that guy. Because he could sit down in a li- before the NIL days where you had to kiss everyone's ass, he could sit down in a living room and the dad would want to drink with him, the mom would want to sleep with him, and the kid would want to come play for him. And you plop the Super Bowl ring down on the table and say, hey, you want to be an NFL quarterback? Come with me. I thought he could have been a really, really good college coach. I don't know in this environment if he could, but back in the day, and I thought his intelligence and the schemes would work really well in college. Because in college, if you're a really bright guy, a la Lincoln Riley, you can just out-scheme people. The NFL, it's a lot harder. Guys are, there's no shortage of really, really bright guys. And it's harder to get around that. But in college, you can win a lot of games just being smarter.
Yeah, George O'Leary. So I was just looking at the Notre Dame coaching history.
Yeah.
You know how far back you got to go to find a coach who had a losing record at Notre Dame?
A losing record?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, did...
No.
Did Charlie have a losing record?
No.
No, he had a winning one too, huh?
He did. Well, Charlie Wise, 35-27.
Okay. So, but basically Notre Dame wins no matter what.
I mean, you got to go back to 1962.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So the Bob Davies of the world, the Charlie Weisses, all that, Ty Willingham, they all had winning records, huh?
Era Parsegian. What a cool name.
Mm.
95-17. Dan Devine, 53-16.
Dan Devine was the coach when Rudy was there.
Yeah.
The much maligned Dan Devine.
You and I were just little wee lads in diapers.
Yeah, when Rudy was lying about that.
Jerry Faust, 30-26.
Oh, I forgot Jerry Faust.
Lou Holtz, 130.
In their last national championship.
Bob Davey, 35-25.
Yep.
George O'Leary, 0-0. Fired before hitting the sideline. Actually, fired before even getting on campus, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
He lied about his resume.
Yep.
Tyrone Willingham, 21-15.
Okay.
Now, there was an interim named Kent Bear who took over after they fired Willingham, and he lost one game, but I don't count that.
That doesn't count.
Charlie Wise, 35-27. Brian Kelly, 113-40.
He was really good.
And Marcus Freeman, 19-8.
Huh.
Boy, how
you
about that?
You want to talk about a consistent program.
Yeah.
I give you Notre Dame.
Pretty good.
Not enough, though. Winning seven games in Notre Dame gets your ass fired.
Pretty good. So anyway.
Which second place gets you a set of steak knives. Third place, you're fired.
If you if you're looking for a coach out there, maybe Gruden's your guy.
Oh. And Vancouver Ford text line, would Gruden remember that you played for him? No, we've answered that. We've had that. Yeah. We ran into him at the national title game, and I can assure you that John Gruden does not remember.
He had no idea, and it tickled Mike Tirico pink.
Mike Tirico thought it was great. Gruden got mad, thought I was making fun of him, and stormed out of the weight room. So that is that.
So Joey Harrington's going to be live today, 5:30. There is a little birdie that told me that Joey was at the WNBA presser the other day.
That guy's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Well, he's involved in the Thorns.
I wonder if he's like part owner.
Well, I mean, he's a part owner of the Thorns, and it's the same group that owns the Thorns.
Yeah.
And can he give us a little insight into the team name?
And we have to carve out a place for him on our live one-hour WNBA pregame show.
Every day.
From the sports bra.
Absolutely. Let's go.
We'll have to ask him those questions.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed back into the sports bra. So
what do you mean back in? You went?
Can we do something? It was an incident, and I don't know. It's like a 40-foot thing, so we may have to do the pregame show from the parking
restraining
lot.
Restraining order.
We may have to do the show from the parking lot of the sports bra. Just saying.
Well,
maybe
listen.
I can do like a remote man on the street sort of thing. You're in the sports bra, and I'm adjacent to the sports bra.
We got a big show. I'm telling you.
It's really big.
And I see Will Ortner over there. So you got one segment of Jeff Rust.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Rust.
God, great job. Great job.
Rusty, no one's ever done it better.
I'll tell you what, I am tuckered out.
Yeah, it's a tough one. All right, we'll be right back with today's poll question. Let's talk football coaches. Again, more football coach talk on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Hope you're having a good little Friday. Beautiful Northwest day.
It's crisp out there.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
Poll question time. We put our poll question out there on X at 1080 The Fan. Give us a follow. Yesterday we asked you which Northwest sports fan bugs you the most. Now, this I consider a small victory for Blazers fans, okay?
Okay.
Because they only got 5% of the vote.
Hey, look at that.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
People are not bothered by Blazers fans.
Well, it's tough when you're this bad and you've been this bad for a while. You really don't have anything to...
Yeah, but if they were good, I don't think this poll would be any different.
All right.
Blazer fans are an agreeable lot.
Go Blazer fan.
They're very... Like, the only thing you could say about Blazer fan is they're probably a little... rosier than your average.
Although some of that is starting to sour a little bit. Like, no one loves third string point guard more than Blazer fan.
A little burp there.
Yeah, a little burp there. But
to take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years.
That's the tropical vibes, sparkling starfruit.
They're always upset. You've made it. Excuse me.
But they
I love your little burps.
I think their enthusiasm has been beaten down recently. You know.
Yeah, I know, but they're kind of always like I don't think anything changes. I think the fan bases are kind of what they are, and the Blazers are overly rosy, probably more so than many cities.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, they're great.
Yeah. I can see that. Someone had a pretty good one on here though that like Jesuit high school parent should be on the list. That's pretty good.
That's good, but I don't I mean I've
high school parent is rough.
I've had dealings with the, and I don't even think it's just, look, I hate to say this. I don't even think it's just parents.
Oh.
It's like just the whole culture.
Yes.
And that includes administrators.
Yeah. Youth sports in general.
Coaches. That's weird.
If you gave me
youth, but that's universal though.
If you gave me youth sports
come on.
Fan, I would be my number one.
Yeah, but
my kid's going to go. My kid's the next Michael Jordan. My kid's the next Pat Mahomes. I'm like, oh my God.
But that's universal. That's anywhere.
Yeah.
Here we have only Blazers fans and only Seahawks fans and only Ducks fans.
Yeah.
And we have our archetype of soccer fan here too. Mm-hmm. So they made the list.
Yeah, soccer fans a lot. I go to all those games. Let me tell you, super soccer fan is a lot.
I think they annoy some people around here.
Yes.
So here are the final results. Which Northwest sports fan bugs you the most? Duck fan, 48%.
Yeah, I can see that.
Seahawks fan, 28%. Yeah. Soccer fan, 19%. Blazers fan, 5%.
It's the right answer. Look, here's the thing about Duck fan. You know you're obnoxious. You know you're annoying. You know everyone hates you. And I think you kind of embrace it. You know, it's like I've always said you're new money. You're the BMW 7 Series with a Six Flag bumper sticker on it. You know, and you've embraced it, and you don't care, which I can appreciate. So, yes, Duck fan should win this poll question, but I think Duck fan is going to wear that as a badge of honor. I don't think they're going to push back and be like, that's ridiculous. They're going to be like, hell yeah, deal with it. And then when they don't win again, then everyone else will yell and scream at them, and then they'll be like, what have you done? Duck fan, the only time Duck fan gets all uppity is when someone points out that they really haven't won anything. And then everyone
well,
gets...
Well, and that's how you know you got them.
Yeah.
Because they get bristly about that.
Exactly.
Meaning that they know that there's truth to that.
Yes.
Before we get to today's fun little poll, somebody texted the Vancouver 4 text line and asked, let's rank the worst youth sports parents.
Oh, baseball, number one.
Football, baseball, soccer, basketball, hockey, golf.
Baseball, one.
Why do you say that?
Dude, travel baseball and just the baseball culture in general has Little League dad is the OG.
Oh, so you're going Little League.
Little League, and then when you get into the travel team stuff and every kid's Bryce Harper, I'm sorry, but softball dad and baseball dad, I'm combining the two. You know who you are. You're the biggest douche out there, and it's not even close. Baseball, softball, number one. Football slides in number two. Because
basketball, though?
What?
Basketball?
Nah, I'm going football because football dad still wants to fight everybody. Football dad's like running out on the field and thinks that he can still kick everyone's ass at like 55 years old. Then I'm going basketball. Then I'm going soccer. And at the very end of it, I'm taking hockey dad and mom because they're too damn tired and it's too much money to drive everyone. They sit in the stands and for the most part, it's pretty good.
Underrated one, volleyball mom.
Oh, there you go.
If you have not dealt with volleyball mom, you should thank your lucky stars.
Why is that?
They are the worst.
By the way, Will Ortner, everybody.
Hey, Will.
Our second producer in 2 seconds.
That's what we just run through him.
We're on a roll.
Well, you guys keep yelling at him.
And Will dated volleyball girls, so I think Will knows.
He coached volleyball
so
girls.
You're basically, so you're talking crap about your ex's mom? Is that basically what we're doing here?
No, because she hurt me. She knows where
volleyball
I live.
Volleyball mom.
She's a lot.
Tell us about volleyball mom.
It's a lot of like living through daughter, but like telling everyone that you're not living through your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a lot of like catty things, like almost at times mom, like leaves out other kids. Like it's almost like moms get into it with kids. It's a whole thing, dude. Volleyball moms are the worst.
I mean, don't you think it's all sports, but
sure.
You know,
yeah, and there's very, and now you know, because you got
it's just people.
Yeah, you got cheerleading mom, and people are throwing track and field. I mean, you got to narrow it down somehow.
Ooh, cheer mom.
I'm still saying, from my experience in this, I'm still saying baseball, softball is just, it's the most insufferable. It just, they're always, there's always something going on. There's always a tournament. The kids got like 19 like layers of eye black on. The mom and dad are in the thing in like full uniform ready to go. It's so much. It's just, it exhausts me. I walk my dog up around my high school, the high school where I live by, and they've built a new high school and there's a bunch of fields there now and there's tournaments there all the time. And just as I walk with him, it's a cavalcade of dumbasses. And not everyone, I'm sure there's some great parents that sit up there and mind their own business, but like, I can just see the dad. And by the way, if you ever want to know who the douche is, and I hope this isn't you, but if it is, know who you are. You're the one that's about halfway down the baseline leaning against the fence. You can't even be in the stands. You need to be closer to the action so you can get better access to yelling at the other kids on the field. It's just, we see you. And it's an embarrassment. Just sit in the stands and quietly cheer on your kid. And then when he does something cool, clap and then shut up.
What if they just don't want to talk to the other parents?
Well, that's
which
possible.
Is why they're down there.
That is possible.
Or but, they're taking a call.
But for the most part, it's not the case.
Right.
And yes, football. Someone saying football dad's the worst. Yeah, he's terrible too. Any parent that
they're all bad. Basically, parents are bad. Humans are bad.
U sports would be better if the parents weren't allowed to be there, if they had
kids
to watch via Zoom.
Who isn't bad? Sports talk hosts?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, I don't know. There's
eighth grade science teachers, substitute science teachers.
There you go.
Rob, you know, we've been to plenty of events where the media gathers. And if you ever want to be embarrassed about what you do, go to a media gathering.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. You can be super media guy.
Yeah.
Or super sports dad.
Oh, my God. Can I just kill myself?
Now, come on. We don't need suicide jokes here.
I have to be one or the other?
Yes.
I think I'd have to be super media guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that hurts me. It hurts me to my core. Like, I would have to be softy and, like, cry when my team went. I
can't see it.
I can't either, but I also can't. There's just no way. I'd have to be able to live with myself, and I could not live with myself being sports dad. I just couldn't. I absolutely could not.
The archetype of Super Media Guy is that they just take what they do in themselves far too seriously. That's yes. the general yes. feel.
It's like when Stephen A. Smith is like, you don't want to make an enemy out of me.
Yeah, it's like,
you're like, what?
You cover,
are you going to show up and you're going to like blow up his phone? What do you?
You cover basketball.
Exactly.
Okay, calm down.
Settle down, Cookie. Like, easy. But Sports Dad is just, at least.
He's intense.
Yeah, Sports Dad is intense. And he, like, you see, like, the video of, like, some, like, the wrestling dad that comes on the mat and, like S-cans the other kid because he's you know, beating up his, the son's losing a match or something. Or, you know, he's yelling and screaming at his kid, or he's trying to fight the coach, or brawls break out. Like, seriously, people fight. People fight other grown men over like 11-year-old kids playing football. Like, as bad as Stephen A. or any one of those people, it's not that. Sports Dad is, it's the worst. It just is.
All right, here is today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. The question is as follows. You have one season and must pick one of these four as your head coach. Who do you choose? Kyle Whittingham, Mike Gundy, Lincoln Riley, or Brian Kelly? Vote and vote hard.
Well, that is, so just 1 year.
Yep.
Right? It's
one
not
build, season.
It's not building a program.
So we're taking age out of it.
Yeah.
You just football coach.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Taking Lincoln.
All right. Well, let's come back. Let's break so we can stay on the clock here. Got off on a little bit of a tangent. Thanks a lot. text line. Wait, that's probably our fault, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, we are in control of this.
So. But I do want to do a seggy. The reason I put that up there is because Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy go head-to-head for the first time ever this weekend.
Kind of mullet versus mullet. I mean, Whittingham's got a little bit of a mullet, and then Gundy fully embraces the
and
mullet.
I believe these are two of the best but least talked about coaches in all of college football.
I have long said my dream for BYU would be to get Kyle Whittingham. He was a BYU player. And we never were able to get him, and it's not going to happen. He's going to retire at U. But I love Kyle Whittingham. If I was coming out of college today and I could pick one guy to go play for, I would go play for Kyle Whittingham. I would be a U.
So let's talk about this big game and the similarities between those two guys next. Here's Will.
1080 The Fan.
All right, today's 1080 The Fan daily poll question on X. You have one season and must pick one of these four as your head coach. Who do you choose? Kyle Whittingham getting 62% of the vote.
The part that would scare me about that, and I love Kyle Whittingham, is that I know that we wouldn't have a quarterback and that we would, like, we'd be really good and then we'd lose two games like 13-11. You know me, in today's game, NFL and college, I just like offensive minded guys. And Kyle Whittingham, like, if you ask me who I wanted to build a program with, but you didn't. You gave me a season. If you asked me in their prime who I'd want to build a program with, I'm taking Kyle Whittingham. And I would have loved, and I don't know how this would have worked, because, you know, it's like we always said this about Mike Riley. Maybe Whittingham just wasn't dynamic enough to run like USC or run a Florida, right? You have to have a little, that's what Oregon, like with Wilcox, right? Oregon was like, no, we need someone that wants to be a top five recruiter. I don't know if Whittingham has that. So maybe this is like, it wouldn't have worked at other places and Utah was the perfect fit. But I just don't think that there's been a more underappreciated coach over the last 15 years building a program the way Kyle Whittingham has built. I mean, he built them into from the Mountain West, where they were the dominant group of five team, to taking their lumps in the Pac-12, to knocking on the door, then winning the Pac-12 a couple times, and being a national team that you looked at and be like, hey, maybe if things broke the right way, and they always had a quarterback short or some injuries, but he's like the Bill Snyder of this generation. All the respect in the world to Kyle Whittingham, and he seems like and everyone I know says he's just a great guy.
Yeah, I think this poll is different depending on what part of the country you're in. I mean, we've seen him up close now for 20 years, and he's excellent.
Yep.
But I would imagine there are a lot of people in the Midwest or down south that
just
are like,
know.
What? Yep. Yeah, they just don't know.
Yeah.
But he is winning. 64% of the vote. Lincoln Riley, 25%. Brian Kelly, 7%. And poor little Mike Gundy, who is a man, last time I checked.
He is a man.
4%.
Well, and there's
I'm
another guy that doesn't get any credit. Mike Gundy is a
really good
coach.
Yeah, yep. I think all those guys are really good.
They are.
And I honestly don't know how I would answer that question. One season, I may take. I actually think Brian Kelly might be the best of all of those.
Yeah,
but I can't stand him.
Yeah. Well, and that's like someone. Kurt Herbstreit was doing a. I don't know, like a Twitter chat, you know, what are they, the AMAs or whatever, but on Twitter. And a lot of LSU fans were like, talk me out of hating Brian Kelly. And Kurt was like, dude, I'm telling you, that's one of the better coaches in college football, and he is.
But they probably just don't like
him.
They
don't like
him. Hard to like.
He is hard to like.
But Gundy, okay, so let's get into it here. I did some digging,
mm-hmm.
as I'm prone to do, because I saw that Whittingham and Gundy were playing this weekend.
Yeah.
And this is the first time they will ever have played. And essentially, this is a Big 12 playoff game.
Yeah, 12 versus 14.
The Big 12 is pretty fun. You got three teams in the top 15, these two and Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Who just got done walloping Arizona. Arizona came into Manhattan, the Little Apple, and Kansas State, the alley whooped them.
So this is a really big game. Mm-hmm. And the Big 12, I think, is going to be fun all year.
Absolutely.
It's a huge one. So these are, okay, first of all, the similarities, they were hired the very same year. They,
oh, really?
As a matter of fact, they were hired 26 days apart,
oh.
20 years ago. So Whittingham is the third longest tenured coach in college football. Gundy is the second longest tenured coach in college football. And, of course, we all know who is the first, who is the longest tenured coach in college football.
Who's the longest tenured coach? Who am I?
Yeah.
Longest tenure coach. Who's been there somewhere forever?
Dabo?
No,
Dabo hasn't been there 20 years.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
Kirk Ferentz.
Yep.
So these two are the second and third longest tenure coaches. They were hired 20 years ago, 26 days apart. Whittingham replaced Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird to think about.
I think Whittingham was on his staff.
Well, yeah. So he replaced Urban Meyer and ended up winning the Fiesta Bowl because Urban Meyer didn't stick around for the bowl game and they beat Pitt. And then Gundy replaced Les Miles, both guys leaving for the SEC.
I can't say that I knew that Gundy was the one that replaced Les.
Both guys grew up in the states where they coach.
Mm-hmm.
And both guys, like you said, with Whittingham.
It's adjacent.
It's just this may just be the perfect fit. He's a Utah guy. Yeah. He understands the area. And maybe he wouldn't have been as great anywhere else. That could, you know, that could possibly be the same for Gundy. Gundy has said that he has had six or seven SEC offers in the last 7 or 8 years.
Well, remember, Gundy played at Oklahoma State.
Exactly.
He was a quarterback there. Whittingham played at BYU. I mean, it's 45 minutes away. And I also enjoy, Whittingham has never done this, but Gundy is master of the offseason. Well, you know, and my contract's up, and
well, he has a revolving contract where it's up at the end of every season, and just renews,
and he uses it to scare up a little every time that there's some interest. He gets a nice little fat raise. He ain't going anywhere,
but he he's not at this point. Yeah, but he certainly likes to
flirt.
Yeah, and say that he's flirting.
Sure.
But he also throws out the, well, I have 30 different family members who live within 90 miles of where I'm coaching. I think I'm just going to stay.
And he's a man, and I take my shirt off, and I got a mullet, and I'm 40.
I'm 55 now.
And I'm a little racist, but it's okay.
I'm 40.
Anyway,
I wear my Newsmax.
Okay, so check this out. Their records.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Whittingham, 165 wins. Mike Gundy, 169 wins.
I'll be damned.
Losses. Kyle Whittingham, 79.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gundy, 79.
Jeez.
Conference records. Kyle Whittingham, 101 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gundy, 102. Losses. Kyle Whittingham, 60. Mike Gundy, 63.
My God, they're the same person.
They're the same coach.
Yeah.
At two different programs.
Now, Whittingham's won the Pac-12 two times or three?
Ooh.
So I know they've won at least two, possibly three. Has Gundy won the Big 12?
Checking.
You know, and Utah and Oklahoma State are kind of similar programs in that they're good programs, but they're not, they've never been the marquee program in their conference, ever.
Let's look.
But both have been really successful.
Gundy has won the Big 12 once.
Okay, then Whittingham has at least won the Pac-12 twice.
And Whittingham won, believe it or not, he only won the Mountain West once.
Okay.
And he won the Pac-12 twice.
Okay, so maybe that gives Whittingham the slight advantage?
Well, let's keep going.
Okay.
Gundy has had a winning record every season, with the exception of his first.
Okay.
Every season he has had a winning record, which is pretty remarkable. I don't know how many people know that.
Yeah.
Amazing. And a couple of 12-win seasons in there.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham has had two losing seasons.
Loser. No, it was probably...
And those were back-to-back.
Right when he first got there, right?
No, they were kind of right in the middle.
Really?
Yeah, it was 2011, 2012.
I kind of thought it would have been when he made the transition to the Pac-12, because when they made the jump to the Pac-12, I know that there were some growing pains.
Okay, so it was. Yes, it was. It was 2000. So they went 13-0 and won the Sugar Bowl. They beat Alabama. That was 2008. They were in the Mountain West.
And I remember saying this, and you know, people think I'm crazy because Alabama does the we don't care. That Utah team, that was the one with, was it Brian Robinson was their quarterback? That Utah team, they were as good as anyone in the country. They could have gone toe-to-toe with any team that I don't know if they would have won a national title, but that was a Mountain West team that was built different.
I think it was Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson, not Robinson, excuse me. Yeah. Brian Johnson.
So then they went 10-3 and 10-3 and jumped to the Pac-12,
yeah,
where in the first season of the Pac-12, they went 8-5.
Okay.
Now, that's where they had a little rough patch.
Yeah.
2012, he went 5-7. Yep. 2013, he went 5-7.
Yep, I remember him saying that a lot of their talent had left and that it was going to take a while to stockpile the depth to win in the Pac-12. And that's when we said, just look out. This guy's building something. So I give Whittingham a slight edge because Gundy never had to build a Power 5 program, and Whittingham did.
Yeah, exactly. Whittingham had to usher them into a new league.
Yes, which is the depth of that, I'm telling you, that's a big deal.
So after going 5-7 2 years in a row, they won 9, 10, 9, 7, 9, 11, 10, 10, and 8.
Mm.
What else do I have here for you?
Boy, this is kind of, it's one of those, like, where they do the Lincoln Kennedy, like the assassination thing, like all the similarities. It's that. It's a weird doppelganger thing.
So Oklahoma State has gone to a bowl game every season under Mike Gundy, with the exception of that first season. Yeah. He's gone 12-6. He has won the Fiesta Bowl twice, beat Stanford and Notre Dame. Whittingham has gone to a bowl game in all but two seasons and gone 11-6 and beat Bama in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
So Gundy has him one extra sort of New Year's Day bowl.
Because Whittingham lost his two Rose Bowls.
Yes, Whittingham has actually lost five straight bowl games, including those two Rose Bowls.
Mm.
Both have won National Coach of the Year honors, and both have seventh-year seniors at quarterback this year.
Fun stat about this. So Caleb Williams is playing Anthony Richardson this week in the NFL, right? Combined age, 44 years between Williams and Anthony Richardson.
Oh, no.
Bowman, and who's the quarterback, is Alan Bowman, the quarterback at Oklahoma State, and Cam Rising.
Mm-hmm.
49, almost 50 years combined.
No way.
Yes.
What?
Yes. They are 49 years combined, and I think they're like a month or two shy of being 50.
Oh, my God.
And in the NFL, we have two quarterbacks that combine for 44 years.
I think Bowman is older than me.
It's possible.
It's pretty close. Rising is the class behind me. I believe Bowman is older than me.
Well, how old is Rising?
I think he's 25, or yeah, he's either 20. One's 24, and the other one's 25.
Okay, So there's a couple things here.
I'll look at it's the other way around. So Bowman is 24, and Rising is 25.
Okay.
My bad. Close.
40. They're 49 years combined. Now, this doesn't shock me because welcome to the world of BYU. I had a guy on my team, Tavita Ofanhangawe, that had three kids, and I do believe he was 26 when he graduated. So I am used to this.
Yeah, but the Mormon thing is...
Yeah, the Mormon thing throws you a little
exception,
bit of a...
Because don't they go for...
you do the two-year church thing, and that when you could gray shirt.
What do they call that? The mission.
The mission.
All right. Are these guys unicorns? And who's better? We'll wrap up the Kyle Whittingham, Mike Gundy talk next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
We're talking about the similarities between Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy, who finally meet after 20 years at the same programs. This will be their first meeting. And Whittingham, I was reading an article on them. Whittingham said they only met in person for the first time at Big 12 meetings in April. So they'd never crossed paths.
The second and third longest tenured coach in college football. Yeah. And they're like, oh, hey. Well, they don't really seem like the two guys that would that would hang out much.
Well, do you think that either of them have met Kirk Ferentz?
Boy, that would be something. You walk into a bar, you got Kirk Ferentz, Kyle Whittingham, and Mike Gundy.
Yeah, who are you hanging out with? You can sit at the table with one of the three.
Like, I want to say Whittingham, but I think the answer is probably Mike Gundy, but he would be a lot.
Well, Gundy would be a lot, but he'd be way more entertaining. I feel like Kyle Whittingham would be a bore.
It's possible.
I mean, we've interviewed him. He's a really nice guy.
He's a super
and
nice
really
guy.
Smart and right. really good yeah. football guy. But yeah. I think he would. I just feel like you wouldn't get a lot of. I think you'd get a lot of sugarcoating with him.
Yeah.
He would be. He would be short on talking crap, which is really what we want. Like real stories.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think Gundy would just let it fly.
Problem is that Gundy, you know, it would get at some point it would get mildly uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know,
and racist.
You're like,
and then I'd get up and go sit with Kirk Ferentz.
And then you would talk about
go
ribbon
ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
Talk about ribbon candy and offense.
Who would be more boring, Kirk Ferentz or Kyle Whittingham?
Ferentz. I think Whittingham is sneaky. I think Whittingham is sneaky, a man's man. I think behind the scenes, I know enough guys that are around him that swear by him. He just plays it close to the vest.
Yeah.
But I think away from football, he's a different guy.
Okay.
But
he's all jacked up.
Yeah, he's super workout guy. When he was at Utah,
he's still there.
He's still there.
We just did a whole segment on it.
Yeah, he works out. Like, he works out with the players. Him and Bronco Mendenhall was the coach at BYU for a while. And they know each other, and they would have like, they would hike the Y together. They would like go on like outdoor adventures and like do remedial squat thrusts together. He's that guy.
That rocks.
Yeah, like Kyle Whittingham is.
Yeah,
jacked.
That's now you're speaking Will's language.
Did you see the picture of Jim Harbaugh working out with the team today?
No,
it was sweet
dude. Okay, can we deviate, because I saw something today about Jim Harbaugh that I cannot.
Cold tub.
The cold tub thing.
Great.
Have you seen this?
No.
So I was listening to the, every now and then I'll flip around and I'll listen to the Chris Long podcast. He does a good job. Is it Green Lights?
Green Light, yep.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a fun guy. And he had Joey Bosa on, and they were talking about Harbaugh. Hand to God, God bless.
You're doing great.
Jim Harbaugh gets into the cold tub after practice in full. And just what he wears out.
The rocks.
He wears shoes. He wears socks. He wears his khaki shirt tucked in, belt, everything, hat. He gets into the cold tub fully clothed.
Why?
I don't know. No one knows why.
He's trying to be harder to break, Rob.
What
Come on
is
now.
Happening?
Well, I do love a good cold plunge, but...
Fully clothed?
Yeah, that's weird.
Jim Harbaugh is insane.
Maybe he just doesn't want to get naked in front of everyone.
But that's the thing is, like,
I don't think so.
He gets naked. Like, he was the master of taking his shirt off and working out in khakis and a belt. And believe me, he should not have his shirt off in public. He doesn't care. And yet now he's cold tubbing in full gear. You can't get into a cold tub in shoes and socks. You can't do it. And yet Jim Harbaugh does.
Yeah. So the photo you're talking about, Will, is him working out at a gym, in a local gym, at 5 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, it's awesome. Rusty just said that he has the audio. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
One second.
On the fan.
Have you been to his RV yet?
I haven't even heard of the mobile home.
What, dude? Bro, he was living in a damn RV all summer.
Yeah, that's right in line with everything else he's done so far, so I believe it. I don't know why this is relatable, but now he's been hitting the cold tub and he just gets in full outfit.
No!
Shirt still tucked in.
No!
And he's just sitting there. Just sitting there. He's like, hey.
No, does he have khakis in the damn cold tub?
Belt, khakis. I'm sorry, coach. I'm like, coach, do those khakis, they keep a little insulation, keep a little warmth in there?
Oh, bro, yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of counterintuitive. You'd think a football guy like him would be like, I want to feel the cold.
Butt naked.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, he's in the cold tub, full outfit, still tucked in.
Can I?
The man's insane.
He is insane. Why Why would he work out at another gym? Like, I get that he's working out. Like, he likes to work out. He's 60 years old, whatever.
But he's got a facility.
Yeah, why doesn't he go to the...
He looks good for 60.
No one knows. There is no explanation to anything.
Does he have, like, a Planet Fitness membership?
No, he would get kicked out of a Planet Fitness. He'd blow the lunk alarm.
He has an NFL facility to work out in, and he's at the local... he's at the local Crunch?
Huh.
There's a great... There's another video that from a couple years back when he was at Michigan. He was on a recruiting trip. And he's at the high school gym, and he's working out. He's doing like a fireman carry sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in dress clothes. He just was at a recruiting visit in his khakis in a button-down shirt, and he thought, what the hell? I'll just do some trap carries. Why not? That dude is the most insane human being on the planet, and yet he builds winners.
It rocks.
So do you think that, to wrap up the Whittingham-Gundy talk,
yeah,
I think you're going to say Whittingham better than Gundy. Only because...
And he's less racist. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I just meant, like, coach.
Although his defensive coordinator is more racist, so it's right. Probably a push.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to still take Whittingham.
Okay.
I think Whittingham...
They're pretty similar.
Whittingham does not have the budget that Gundy has. Bundy, I'm doing great today.
You really are.
Gundy,
on a roll.
I am on a roll. Gundy, for a long time, had a lot of resources because of T-Boone. And... Whittingham did not have that budget at Utah, and he took a Mountain West team and grew it into a Pac-12 power. So, look, I have a lot of respect for Mike Gundy, not Ted Bundy. I have a lot of respect for one, not the other, but I just think what Whittingham has done, taking that program, elevating that program, and making Utah matter. You know, since he's been there, they've built brand new facilities, they've expanded the stadium. I mean, Kyle Whittingham is responsible. When I was at BYU, because when did he take over the Utah program?
It would have been 2004.
Okay, so 2005. I left in 2000 from BYU, right? And Utah was our rival. Utah was our little brother. Like, I remember my last game ever when we were playing Utah. I remember my head coach yelling at us, saying, every single one of those kids wanted to come here, and we told them no. So don't you dare let him beat us. I mean, they were our little brother. And he came along and he changed all of that. And he made it so Utah was our daddy. We are their little brother. And it's not even close. I mean, they have dominated us. And so to do that over that 20-year period, to take a program that I'm going to say was a laughingstock, but was a non-starter, even in the group of five conversation, and turn it into that, I think that's enough for me to say that he's better.
Do you think coaches will stay 20 years at programs anymore?
Probably not.
Or are these guys kind of the last breed?
I think they may be the last breed.
In today's college football?
I think you're going to see coaches retire sooner because the money is so great. The demands are so high. The NIL stuff is such a pain in the ass. And by the way, this may change down the road because with new rules, and it may settle into it. But yeah, I just think these are... Even now, these are the exceptions, not the rule. But I think this will be less and less of these sorts of guys.
All right. Well, Utah and Oklahoma State play tomorrow. Cam Rising, they say, is going to play. So that's good. Big game in the Big 12. Ollie Gordon, that Oklahoma State running back, has struggled. You know what his longest run so far is?
What's he got?
12.
Well, they're not having a problem because they've put up 44, 39, and 46 points.
Yeah,
so.
But Gordon's averaging 3.2 yards per carry.
Interesting. I wonder if teams are just... Because I have not... I watched a little bit of the Arkansas game. I didn't see them play South Dakota State, and I didn't see them play Tulsa. I did catch the final bit of the fourth quarter, and then it went into two overtimes, I believe, against Arkansas. And... I wonder if you're just seeing teams just load the box and be like, hey, the old ass quarterback can beat us, but you know, Ollie Gordon isn't going to get us. Because sometimes when you have that much hype coming into the season, teams will just make anyone else but you beat them.
Good game. And there's hot Kyle Whittingham, Mike Gundy talk. Almost took 45 minutes to do that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, you had to go down a Ted Bundy road and then Jim Harbaugh, and it was a thing.
So later we'll get into more of college football games this weekend. It really ramps up in week four. There's some good matchups. Mm-hmm. Tonight we get Patrick Mahomes light, that kid from Nebraska.
I'm kind of excited about a little Friday night Nebraska-Illinois.
Yeah, First time in 40 years those two teams meet both ranked. It's kind of weird to think.
That is weird. Well, I mean, look, Nebraska hasn't been great, but when's the last time Illinois was worth two S's?
So that'll be later. But up next, was Shohei's game yesterday the greatest of all time? Isaac and Souk on the Fam.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.